来，你挨下边。Okay, next, go to item number 14. Although I guess I had a request from. Pardon me?
Mr. Chair, there are two.
Wait a minute. Before we have a substitute here today, and he's trying to, you know, just jump in and run all. No. Mr. LaBonge has a motion. He and Director Villaraigosa. So. You want to read it quickly, so because it's a report back.
Thank you very much. This motion here asks for the support from the MTA to deal with the Wilshire Boulevard, which is the heaviest traveler's MTA bus corridor in the county, to fix the curb lane, which is in essence a bus lane because there's no parking any time. Our Department of Public Works is working with the MTA and Mr. Taylor. I just ask that the MTA move and direct the CEO to work with the City of Los Angeles to identify the immediate strategies to eradicate the damage and the unsafe road condition at this location, as well as the MTA board direct the CEO to develop a long-term strategy for Wilshire Boulevard. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. I assume you're seconding that, Mr. Villaraigosa.
I am co-authoring it.
Yeah, I know. So we got a motion and a second, and this is a report back, so it's okay to proceed with this. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right, yes. We're going to have to refer it to committee.
The problem I have is every city and unincorporated area have this problem, not just one city. In the unincorporated areas, what we use are Prop A funds and other road funds to do these jobs. But to exclude the Long Beach Transit Authority, to exclude the Montebello Transit Authority, to exclude the roads in all of the other 87 cities, and 1.5 million people who live in the unincorporated areas, MTA cannot be the bailout for other cities' budgets problems. We have our own needs that have to be met. And so, you know, doing a report, we don't have the money.
Well, Michael, I believe you do. And no street but Wilshire carries the buses, the 720 and many, many others.
Take you to Valley Boulevard in the San Gabriel Valley.
I'll take you right now. I'll go afterwards right now. You will not see it. I'll bet you
let it. San Gabriel Valley.
I'll bet you let it.
Hacienda Heights.
Hey. We went to the same high school. I'm sorry.
Sounds like it.
Except you were a linebacker.
No. He was on the debate team. So, but Michael, Mr. Chair, members, this is a positive step forward. Our staffs are already working together.
Well, I think we're going to refer it to committee.
Good.
Okay, and then also, so it'll come up through the process, and you know, it would be fair to say that with that, it needs to look at other potential issues here because.
Councilman's trying to do is look at this, and then part of what the committee will also do is see, does it apply other places as well? Because obviously, you know, based on what we're doing with a lot of, we got to make sure we're treating everybody the same.
Yeah.
And if it's a legitimate issue on Wilshire, it's a legitimate issue on San Gabriel or what the street Mike was mentioning, or
Rosemead.
You know, Rosemead or in Diane's district, probably not Aura's district, but, you know, but because they need a freeway through there. But other than that. But no, but I think that's the intent of the motion.
Right.
So
we refer this to planning then, right? The planning committee?
And finance.
And finance. Okay. Planning and finance. Yes, Mr. Fasana.
I would only ask that when the report comes out that we have some information about the weights on the various vehicles that are involved and whether that's part of the longer-term strategy of balancing, you know, massive vehicles that can carry a lot of people versus the damage to the roads. So I hope that's covered the trade-offs in the report.
Okay. Is that Director O'Connor?
I just want to say, I was on the 720 the other day, and my experience was when I was going through parts of Los Angeles, again, heavily traveled route, boy, was that route right rough. You know, I mean, they're big buses.
I know.
Yeah.
But I was telling the mayor, I heard him on the radio yesterday, I'm not going to fix his potholes for him without a fight.
No. Right. But I'm not sure that...
I think we ought to provide restrooms in
Boston. But I'm just pointing out that we need to get more information. There are some routes that are more heavily traveled with heavier buses.
Well, I think that's part of Mr. Fasano's thing as it relates to the weight.
Right, and I just want to add that first-hand experience really woke me up.
Okay. I attempted to do this when I was here last time in the early 2000s, and we put it off, so I thank you.
I think Mel remembers your motion, too, probably. Huh? It goes that far back. Okay, without objection, so ordered. Go to planning and finance. All right, item number 14.
Mr. Chair, while Mr. Hamperian is coming up, let me just note, there's two separate items here. The first A is the policy issue of should there be an umbrella firm in Washington. The second one has to do with whether or not to exercise the option with Manette Phelps and Phillips. I do want to note for you that there's been some interest expressed of having a senior MTA employee in Washington, D.C. I've had a conversation with a person, I won't say their name because we don't have an agreement, but we have somebody back there who's very interested in doing some work for us, someone who has a great deal of experience in Washington. I do want to note on 14B that our recommendation remains that that the board not exercise the option with Manette. We believe that we can do a more effective and an efficient advocacy effort without those services, and so therefore recommend. I do want to note before Rafi comments that Mr. Kiefer and Mr. Chan from Manette Phelps are here, and they may want to make some comments later on. I do know that Ambassador Jones wanted to be here, but was unable to come as he was having some medical attention today. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Rafi, you want to go ahead? I don't know what you're going to add to it. If not, then we can let the Manette folks have a few words, and then we have some public testimonies.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. As Art said, this is a two-part board report, one related to our structure with respect to federal advocacy, the second with respect to the expiration of the current federal advocacy contract. I would add that during the period that we have had Manette, Phelps & Phillips under contract with our agency, the firm has had a considered and thoughtful impact on our legislative program. Their input has included but not been limited to assisting in editing legislative language associated with advancing our twin legislative objectives, which is the acceleration of our highway plan and acceleration of our transit plan. They've hosted us for a number of meetings. They've arranged a number of meetings on Capitol Hill, both with members of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. Later in the contract with the White House. The lead contact for the firm, Ambassador Jones, has been responsive, generally responsive to the agency, and has generally been available to work with us. Art Chan has also been a very thoughtful member of the team. He comes with lots of legislative experience, and we've benefited from that. As well, we've benefited from a third member of the team, June DeHart, also pleased, as Art said, that George Kiefer is here. George is obviously a well-respected member of our community, and very pleased that he is here. And there are some charts, A1 and A2, with respect to structure, and if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I would conclude...
Recommendation?
Yeah, the recommendation is the recommendation is to permit the contract to expire and not to exercise a 6-month extension of the contract.
I think you need to amplify why we're making that recommendation.
Yeah, the recommendation, and this is included specifically in the report, is that we had wanted the firm to be aggressive, creative, and resourceful, and I think while I would say that there were aspects of that over the last 7 months now, the 6 months, and then the additional month, it is my considered opinion that the team was not aggressive enough, resourceful enough, or creative enough to merit a renewal of their contract at $51,500 per month. I will say that, you know, the context is last year was actually one of our more successful years. This agency got the largest state of good repair grant in the nation. This agency got the largest state Tiger II grant in the nation, the TIPI loan. This agency moved the two largest new starts projects into the preliminary engineering process. So it's not like we came out of 2010 with a paucity of success. Rather, it's my opinion, and it's reflected in this board report, that we need a stronger engines to move our proposals forward. I'll conclude by just saying, and Supervisor Kanabi and the mayor saw it yesterday, our proposals that are being advanced by this agency, our board-approved legislative program, is the standard, the hallmark that the nation is looking at right now. I mean, the hearing yesterday, the both chairs of the respective authorizing committees were talking about our plan as the template for the future, the enhancement of TIFIA and the creation of a new bond program. And I think, you know, speaking for myself, I'm very proud of this agency that we're setting the standard for the national dialogue on the next surface transportation program. And that concludes my remarks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions at this point?
I'll move the recommendation.
Okay. We have some
A or B.
Well, we have forget A or B right now. Okay. We have some public comments, and then first, are the Manat folks, do they want to respond at this particular point?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to respond. I'm here, George Kiefer from Manat Phelps, from the Executive Committee of Manat Phelps, simply to reinforce our interest in retaining and working with you on the contract. I think we've brought real value to you. With me is Art Chan, who joined us about a year and a half ago, formerly was Policy Director for the House Transportation Committee. He's distributed some material to you that I think is important for you to see. But we really appreciate the opportunity of working with you. We think we can continue to help. We think we've moved the ball forward. Part of our reason for getting involved in this in the first place is not simply the work we're doing in Washington, but we love this community. We're the hometown team on this. We were the hometown team when we proposed on it. So it's part of our commitment to the community for working on this. We were involved in the Alameda Corridor financing. We were involved in the early stages of this back before it was ruled illegal in some degree. So we want to continue. We want to help you. But I'd like Art Chan to make a few remarks on where we are now and where we think we are in the future before you make your decision. So, Art?
Thank you very much for making this opportunity to us to make a few comments.
Microphone down.
Let me just simply point out a few things that has been already included in the two reports that Ambassador Jones has provided to the board. First thing is that we will retain in August. That was after the FTA Administrator Peter Rogoff has already denied Representative Jane Harmon's request to include money in the 2011 budget for those two projects, the West Side Extension as well as the Regional Connector. We noticed right away that there was resistance within DOT bureaucracy toward expediting these two projects. So we decided to use a sort of a roundabout approach. And so we worked very closely with the White House and also with the political level at DOT. And we were disappointed earlier this month when Secretary Rayla Hood sent a letter to Representative Henry Waxman, again rejecting his written request for $160 million in the 2012 budget for these two projects to do preliminary engineering and final design work. But we didn't start working. In fact, we worked doubly hard with the White House and with OMB. And 10 days later, the President's budget came out, and the FTA New Start annual report that goes with that budget included those two projects. And I have copies of that annual report with me, and if you like, they're available to you. But going forward, I think the ultimate objective of Metro is to have these two projects receive full funding grant agreements. so they can go forward toward construction. In the meantime, but however, that is not going to be in place until 2013. In the meantime, Metro wants to continue these two projects on a fast track by acquiring the early work system agreements on these two things, these two projects. I should point out to you that we got a lot of hard work ahead of us because FTA is a little bit nervous because of the debacle in New Jersey with regard to the access to the region's core project coming known as ARC. Now, let me comment a little bit about 3010. A lot has been said this morning already about the meeting yesterday, the hearing yesterday. I can tell you that I have met with Chairman Micah and his staff, and I can also tell you that Chairman Micah is favorably disposed to the concept of 3010. His staff is a little bit skeptical, and I've been meeting with him, I've been talking to him, and I will continue to do that. I think he needs to be a little bit more familiar with the specifics of 3010, the Q-tip and the TIFIA components, and to gain greater comfort level so that we can achieve our ultimate objective, which is to get those two things into Chairman Micah's reauthorization bill. What we'd like to do is this. This is what we plan to do. We would like to get Chairman Micah to buy into the Q-tip in particular. TIFIA is a lot easier because he has jurisdiction over that. We'd like Chairman Micah to buy into the Q-tip idea. Once he does that, he can then talk to the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Dave Camp from Michigan, because this is a good way to close a funding gap that has so far bedeviled two chairmen in reauthorizing safety loop. I think we have a good shot at this, and I think we can be successful going forward doing this. Thanks.
Thank you.
I mean, George. Chairman, just to conclude, something that Art said that I don't think he emphasized strongly enough is the budget items that are in the president's budget now, which is a bit of a miracle. But some people who advise you in this area will tell you that's quite an extraordinary accomplishment given the rejection earlier to the two letters from congressmen from this area asking for inclusion. So I just want to emphasize what progress has already been made to this date and why that has been made. And that has been made by the efforts of this office with the White House and the OMB. So that's my concluding.
Thank you. Okay. Zeb first and then Mike.
Well, first of all, let me just, I'll take 2 seconds to say, I don't believe that any congressman asked simply for inclusion. I think they were asking for inclusion with money. And there's no money included in the president's budget, if my memory serves me correctly. Is that right?
There's no specific money. What is included is the president moved the New Starts account from $2 billion to $3.2 billion, and then there's a $400 billion overflow that he's accounted for that is undesignated money that could, during any given fiscal year 2012, be apportioned to a project, but right. No specific designation.
But there is a list of projects in the president's budget that do have money.
That is correct.
This one does not have any money attached to it.
Correct.
So I wouldn't overstate or be overly critical of the congressman. That's not to diminish the work that was done by the Manat firm, but I don't think, I just think it's overreaching. I just take a second and just say, I on this issue, I have a, you know, everybody has their own views on this. I think the Manat firm, we haven't worked with us that long. I thought they were competent and capable. I think they were accessible to all of us, and I think they did a good job for the time that they've been on board. My problem is not with the Manat firm. My problem has been with the amount of money we've spent on any firm for this particular purpose, and I felt for a long time that we could better utilize the limited resources we have in Washington by being more strategic and tactical and focused in how we invest our money than to have an umbrella such as the Manat firm, as good as they are. And I hope you're right, Art. I hope my instincts are right. This is not a, for me, it's not a, a reflection on the work that the Manat firm has done. Ambassador Jones is a legend. The other people on his team have great experience, but we have, it's expensive, and I think we can, I think the bet is that we can, for the foreseeable future, get a better return on the investment that we have doing it a little differently. That's all I want to say.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I'm sorry.
My question is, now that you're not the, you would not be the lead agency, what would the compensation for your services be?
We have proposed in a letter from Ambassador Jones to Chairman Kanabe of reducing our fee to the original price that we bid. That was 2 years ago, at
$37,500. $37,500?
Yeah.
And that contract would be till
6 month option.
6 months or
6 month option.
6 month option. 37,500.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, to clarify something that was said, the annual report usually is divided into about four different sections, and these are sections that will list individual projects that are either currently in construction or will soon be into construction or is scheduled to get into a full funding grant agreement in the upcoming fiscal year. Historically, this program is funded at $2 billion a year. 92% of that money is specifically allocated to those four categories. The remaining 8% is left behind as discretionary authority given to the secretary. And the secretary will use this 8% discretionary authority to fund various projects in for preliminary engineering and final design, precisely the kind of activities that these two projects here at LA are trying to do. However, in the past, those projects in this phase, early phase of the process, were never identified in the annual report. This is sort of new thing, if you will. So although there is no specific dollar amount associated with the projects, I think you need to understand that, you know, we have done something that has never happened before.
Okay. Mr. Katz?
We talked about this the other day, so just to reiterate, the difference in 37 and 51 is not coordinating or not being the lead agency. And I think you had testified earlier or said earlier in discussions that that you haven't been able to do that since the contract started for a variety of reasons, and I'm not blaming Manat for that. I mean, I think that's internal to us as well as with you guys. So you haven't been doing that function for the last 7 months either. Through no fault of your own, you just haven't been doing it.
Well, we have tried to do it in different ways, but we have not been successful in getting that.
I guess where I'm coming from, which I mentioned the other day, is I think I would have started this pitch with we didn't do that function for 7 months. We value that function at $13,000 a month, which is why we're reducing it going forward. But I think you owe us 7 months at $13,000 a month for that piece that wasn't done. You know, just rhetorical question, I guess. I mean, if you guys, I'm not trying to put, it just seems to me if it hasn't been done, you know, it hasn't been done. Not, and again, as I said, through no fault of yours. So,
yeah.
It is a rhetorical question, I guess, Richard, and it's cute, but we did try to do that, and Ambassador Jones spent a lot of time coordinating meetings and trying to coordinate the different lobbyists and operations. I think our conclusion was it's not really possible, it's not really effective to be done by an outside firm. Other firms have their own interests, their own connections. They would rather deal directly with the staff. And as much as we tried and spent the time and the money trying, we were not successful at it. And we admit that. We failed at that.
Well, okay. No, George, I appreciate it, the rhetorical question and the rhetorical answer. But I appreciate that work was done to try and do it. I guess I was just looking at it from a standpoint of limited dollars here. What are we trying to do and what's happened over the last 7 months? But I get it. Sure. And as I said, I don't think that's through a fault of yours. That's not something Manat is responsible for. Anyhow, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The item is before us as recommended.
What is the recommendation?
Okay.
Recommendation.
Our recommendation is that there 14A is there not be an umbrella. Our recommendation is that the option not be exercised. That recommendation is based upon our observations of value and delivery over the seven-month period in question. I can go into more detail on that, but we believe that we can proceed soundly without this. I am highly, highly incentivized and motivated to achieve our Measure R and other objectives in Washington. If we believe that Manat for 51 or 37 was necessary, we'd make that recommendation. So that's where we are.
Yeah. All right.
Chairman. Okay.
Yes.
I would like to refer it to committee and have it come back. But there are other issues that we're also talking about relative to the representation. I would like to know why the board would need four layers of bureaucracy: the governor, government relations manager, government relations director, and an executive director for federal, state, local community relations, and then the CEO. Again, I believe we're getting too top-heavy in that particular area, and having it go to committee to discuss these various issues, the issue of authorizing the director to hire without board approval contracts, but under 200, under 150,000 or 200,000, if that is done, it ought to be done on a yearly basis and not hire a person under $200,000 throughout the year whose total contract would exceed that minimum requirement prior to it coming to the board for approval. So,
on the issue can go to committee, but we still have the item before us. We have a...
Pardon me?
Well, I mean, the issue that Mike raises can be part of his motion if he wants to, as a director, to send it to committee. The item still is before us. You have 14A and 14B. 14A is a recommendation to implement an advocacy structure in Washington, D.C. without a lead firm. That's one vote. The other vote is not to exercise a six-month option to extend. So we're going to bifurcate the two. We do have a couple of public comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Arnold, yes?
Before you go to public comment, can I... Mr. Antonovich, Director Antonovich's suggestion, separate and apart from 14A and B, is a good one, and I'd like to trifurcate it, if that's a word, so that if we vote for 14A and 14B, that is to have a program in Washington without an overall umbrella firm, and that we don't exercise the option, that we still look at the other issues that he raised.
Right, no, that's what I said. I mean,
that the director, that the executive officer, not do anything in that realm until that comes back from the committee.
I just agree to that.
Is that what you want to do? Okay. Okay.
Well, okay, you are stopping. I mean, let's say that 14B were to pass with not exercising the option. You don't want them to proceed on a RFP to...
That would be fine, but I think Mr. Antonovich was addressing other issues.
Right. No, I understand. Okay.
Folks here.
You said not to do anything. I just want to make sure that they include the RFP.
You're right. I wasn't clear enough. I'm talking about here in L.A.,
Okay.
in our headquarters office, not
right.
in Washington.
Okay.
To make sure I'm clear, the board approved some months ago a position. And what really is being said here, I think, if I'm tracking, is that we not fill that position pending discussion at committee.
Exactly. I think that Mike was driving at.
Okay. All right. Okay, Mr. John Walsh, then Arnold Sachs.
Yes.
John Walsh blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, 1 million successful server requests last year. George, I knew him 15 years ago when he was a lobbyist at Manat Phelps, one of the bidders on the Hollywood Highland contract. George, you are one of the most powerful people in the city of Los Angeles. They'll arrest me if I look at you. Kiefer is one of the most powerful people. He is the concierge for Eli Broad. You're slapping Eli Broad in the face. The mayor shows up for an hour and a half, 50 minutes late, talks a little while, and walks out. You are being disrespected, Mr. Kiefer. You are being disrespected. Over $14,000 difference. They just passed a $1.5 billion contract to build the expo like that. $14,000. Katz, you're right. He is very cute, Mr. Kiefer. And I've given you my email, and I'm telling you right now, we cannot afford to have the mayor of Los Angeles to be Antonio Villaraigosa. I'm asking you, have him resign. See how afraid they are of me? He must resign. Talk to Eli.
Sachs.
Time.
John, you still want to speak? Wait.
After
Mr. Sachs, but you're still on. Okay.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Arnold Sachs. The contract that you're not going to approve, $51,000, doesn't mention anything about the advocacy structure in Washington, D.C., what the cost is without the umbrella lead firm. So what could we get from that? I heard mention of a home team, and I immediately thought of the Dodgers. And here we are involved in another messy divorce. Please make sure the legal teams do not change any of the documentation. And as far as a miracle occurring... Gentlemen, you got to speak for the board for 5 minutes. You got a give and take with the board. I've had seen legal representatives, elected representatives, mayors, council people come up in front of the board, get cut down after 1 minute. The public definitely cut down after 1 minute. You want a miracle, that was it.
Yes, just clarification. I wanted to just understand, we recently hired a federal advocacy position in-house. Is that correct? We received an announcement on that?
We have appointed an individual who lives in Washington, D.C. to assist with the program. He's an employee. We're in discussions with a higher-level person. This is in response to some board input I've received, a higher-level person with much experience who currently lives in D.C. The position the board approved, a higher-level executive position within the MTA, that position has not been filled, and there's no offers on the table at this time.
And that's the position that will go back to the committee.
I think, you know, and I would support that part in terms of looking at what Director Antonovich and Director Yaroslavsky have raised as far as bringing that to the committee. I also think we can move forward, and 14A and B is recommended today, and, you know, with appreciation to Manat Phelps and what they've done. I think at the same time, there's a valid reason for moving forward with the staff recommendation of those items.
Okay. All right. So there's a motion on the floor to move item 14A and 14B. We're going to bifurcate the votes. First of all is 14A, which is... Hang on here. I want to make sure that we're... Right. 14A is directing the CEO to implement a structure in D.C. without an umbrella lead firm to direct the advocacy team. Are there any objections to 14A? If not, so ordered. Item 14B is to not exercise a six-month option to extend the federal advocacy services contracted, we will...
I have a question before
Okay, all right. And then we'll go to vote. Clear the field, please.
I was informed that I no longer have a conflict here. I was told that...
But
has it expired? You don't have me as a conflict?
Okay. 14B, cast your vote.
On B, that...
I'll go to C. Okay, I'm gonna.
No. On B, are we talking about not extending the contract? But if it was extended, it'd be at the reduced rate.
Well, we'd have that option if this motion failed.
If the, okay.
speed.
This is to not extend the contract. Motion passes. Okay. All right. Item 14C, or an addition, it's not an actual 14C, but the addition is to send the approved position as well as the advocacy situation in D.C. Back to which committee to come out of? Executive Management. Okay. All right.
Mr.
Chair. Any objections? Okay. So ordered. Yes.
Can I ask, because of the urgency, because what's going on, that the committee work as quickly as they can so we can stay on
right.
top of
but it. this does not stop going out for an RFP. Okay?
Thank you.
That's the clarification. All right, yeah. Okay? Again, okay, and without objection, so ordered. And Art and to George, thank you. And maybe there's an opportunity in the future to work together. We appreciate all that you have done. And with that, yes, Rafi?
I made one error of omission, and that is we mentioned the success in the new starts getting into preliminary engineering, and I wanted to specifically acknowledge the work of our planning staff, Martha Wellborn, Diego Cardoso, Rena Berlin, and our construction folks, Kay Ann Murthy and Brian Boudreau. On any number of occasions, late at night, they worked remarkably hard, assiduously, to lend the success of our program, and I want to thank them.
Okay. Thank you. Item 15, the Ridley Thomas O'Connor motion.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It just kind of cut the piece here, if I may, by saying we have an extraordinary opportunity to create one of the most environmentally cleanest transit systems in the nation. It seems to me that there is widespread interest and commitment to renewable energy technologies as it relates to transit systems. And when we think about the amount of money going back to 2009 that Metro's light rail and subway lines consumed, approximately 184 million kilowatt hours of electricity at a cost of somewhere in the area of $22 million, it would seem to me that it is completely appropriate for us to explore alternative options that could, in fact, put us at the head of the line in terms of innovation, creativity, environmental responsiveness, as well as being prudent managers of public resources. And so I think that we must continue to identify and utilize alternative sources. We're on our way to doing that. To the extent that that is the case, the motion is before you. It would require the staff to do some work, come back to us with the appropriate recommendations, and I would simply so move with the appreciation of
That report comes back in 90 days, is that correct?
90 days, yes. All right, thank you very much, Director Villaraigosa. And Director O'Connor has also stood up to say that this is the right direction in which to go. So, Mr. Chairman, with your permission.
We have a number of people signed up, and we got your motion and seconded by Director O'Connor. And Director O'Connor, you have any comments? Okay. All right. And so let me call.
I joined up.
Right. Christian Compansi, Compisi, I guess it would be. Danny Zane, and then following Danny would be Marlene Grossman. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Christian Compisi, and I'll be brief. I would urge the board to support this measure because there are hundreds of examples of public-private partnerships where municipalities, other government agencies, including other transit agencies here in Southern California, have successfully adopted renewable energy using little to no money of their own. And really what this comes down to is realizing immediate and long-lasting savings on utility, which money could be otherwise spent to improve service or other budget measures. So I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Denny, and then Marlene Grossman, then followed by Diane Forte.
Denny Zane from Move LA. Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you, Councilmember O'Connor. We appreciate very much bringing this motion to the Metro Board. This is really motivated by two objectives. One is to save money. Operating costs is an important factor in our ability to provide services to our community, and we must look for every both savings and opportunity for revenue to do this. This is one. This is a feasibility study, and if it demonstrates that it's feasible, of course, we should always be looking for ways to provide cleanest, most renewable, and cost-effective energy opportunities as we can. Thank you very much for your vision and your leadership on this issue.
Thank you, Denny. Marlene Grossman, followed by Diane Forte.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Marlene Grossman. I'm the chair of the Board of Move LA. I wholeheartedly support this measure because it will help reduce operating costs and thereby improve the fare box recovery ratio, create jobs, and meet significant environmental goals. I urge the board to authorize that a transparent study be undertaken by a nonpartisan, independent third-party industry expert or a set of experts to investigate and make recommendations as to best practices. Multiple opportunities should be provided for public and industry input. Departments within Metro should also provide input and review, and these departments should include, but not be limited to, operations planning, construction, sustainability, and real estate. We need to do all that's possible to ensure that the system can be the best it can be. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Diane, and then Gerard Wright.
Hi, thank you. I'm Diane Forte, Forte Green Strategies, and also an advisor to Move LA. I support the motion. It's an opportunity to save green, be green, and get green. Save green in terms of operating costs, especially if it's financed by the private sector. Be green, it will meet our air quality and greenhouse gas goals. And get green in terms of positioning ourselves for the federal government and private sector money. To do so, I urge that the study get our best and brightest ideas. Let's have a team of experts from all the departments of Metro, and also get the best from the private sector, from industry experts, so that we can have all the options on the table and learn from other regions. And then in doing so, we would become the template for others in the nation to follow, and they would say, hey, look at what LA did. So thank you very much. This is a great motion.
Thank you. Gerard Wright, and I think it's Rendall. I think it's Jay Jansen. Jadanson. Gerard?
Okay. Thank you, Sir Chair and Directors. Gerard Wright, Co-Chair, Sierra Club, Angeles Chapter, Transportation Committee. Our main objectives for 2011 are two main goals, reducing VMT and electrifying transportation. This is a great step in the right direction in both of these objectives, where we can reduce vehicle miles traveled with the Measure R projects and improve electric transportation in making it more efficient and utilizing renewable resources such as photovoltaics, wind, whatever. But this is a great step in the right direction. Sierra Club wholeheartedly endorses it, and we wish the board to make its approval. Thank you very much.
Okay. Maybe that's Johnson. Is that correct?
Johnson, yes.
Sorry. Randall Johnson, then John Walsh, and then Arnold Sachs.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Rendell Johnson. I represent Togo Systems. So we've been doing systems infrastructure design on Metro projects since 2003. After an investigation into the implementation of photovoltaics in new and existing LRT construction, we've determined that there is a very strong case to be made for Metro to successfully install photovoltaics to offset the 190 million kilowatt hours of electricity that they use every year. We recommend that Metro proceed with exploring the feasibility of photovoltaic construction within their rights of way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pass.
Mr. Walsh passes. Arnold?
Yes, thank you. Arnold Sachs. This was an item from the December 9th, 2010 agenda. Motion that the MTA board direct the CEO to develop a draft clean green construction policy. That was in December. I also believe that, don't you have a new maintenance building that has solar paneling on it? Why isn't a solar program a direct outreach of that program? What took so long? Maintenance program, maintenance building with solar paneling, clean green program for construction equipment. Why does it take so long? I understand that we're paying top dollar for the best, brightest leadership for Metro. Seems to me that if you have a maintenance building that you're putting solar paneling on, a logical step would be, what else can we put solar paneling on at that time? 9 months later, 10 months later, just
Thank
moving
you.
Around to it.
All right.
Congratulations on our
Supervisor Ridley Thomas.
Well-to-do board.
Director O'Connor, and question. Okay. And you decided to speak on this? Okay. Director Najarian.
Thank you. And I know we're talking about, I'm in support of this. I know we're talking about solar energy. However, I was just made aware of a new technology. It's not a new technology, but a unused technology within our system that, as our transit lines come to a stop, that the kinetic energy from those lines slowing is stored on a portable generator, and then when they need to start up again, they take that energy from the generator and reuse it to start up rather than drawing it off the grid. So as we're looking at this solar energy, as we're looking at the solar, if we could think about that, and I've got some brochures.
Okay. I think
it actually says renewable energy, so it's not just solar. It could
right.
be biomass. It could be
right. But just to throw that out there, that if staff looks at that color to that, there's a technical name for it. But. Right,
Mr. Chair.
That's good. Yes.
Purposes of clarification: there are no limits on the staff's exploration of alternative renewable energy options, and so it would be inclusive of your suggestion, Director. Nigerian.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
All right.
Chair.
So, without objection, so order. Okay, I need to take 19 and 20, so I'll make sure I don't lose a quorum here. We need 9 votes, I think, on this item. All right, I have a motion on 19 and 20 to move both items. Is there a second? Okay, I got moved a second, and now we have some public comments on 19 and 20. Mahavish Patel and Arnold Sachs.
Good morning, Board. My name is Mahavish Patel. We had a meeting on Friday, February 18th, with Mr. Stefan Belushi, the senior real estate officer, at which state he was going to present us with an offer. As of this morning,
could you move it down a little bit? So right.
We were supposed to get an offer of as of Friday, February 18th, and as communication. That being said, we look forward to working with the MTA staff to reach an amicable solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you respond to that about having no offer in the date?
Well, an original offer has been made. We've received a counteroffer, and we have responded and will continue to respond.
Okay. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you. As I'm referring to a recording that's located at the county assessor's office, a corporation grant deed that involves negotiations, I guess, with two corporations, the Los Angeles Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority, a public agency, a.k.a. the Metro Gold Line Foothill Extension Construction Authority. Who's going to be doing the negotiations here? Because the Los Angeles to Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority may be a public agency, but it wasn't a public agency created by government authority. And the a.k.a., who's that? Who would be involved in this negotiation for this parcel of property?
For the state.
They're not involved in this real estate deal. So I was just wondering, why is it so different between this real estate deal and the one that you have on your agenda?
All right. Thank you. All right. Item 19 and 20 is before us. It's been moved and seconded. Any objections? You have your 9 votes then. Okay, thank you. All right, let's go back to item, I believe, 16. By the way, I failed to mention in item 15, that included Director O'Connor's amendment as well. 1921 together. Okay, back to item 16.
Good morning. Item number 16 has several requests for approval. First, we are asking for consideration for the CEO to execute a unilateral change order for the construction of the sound wall. I will want to give a brief explanation of the location of the sound wall and what we have encountered. The sound wall is located along the 210 freeway between the city in the cities of Arcadia and Monrovia. As shown, it's on both sides of the 210 freeway, eastbound and westbound. We have already constructed portion of the sound wall shown in red, and during the construction of that sound wall, the design was to put the piles, cast in place, drilled hole piles, about 800 of them at spaced about 6.4 feet on average, and it is also shown in the area where there is some river rock with boulders. But when we encountered so many boulders, the contractor had to go back and redesign his drilling, which costed us quite a bit of money in the issuance of change orders for that. So in order to eliminate the rest of the sound wall construction in such a difficult area, which is almost a mile long, we went back to Caltrans, who is the designer of the sound wall, to redesign the footing to a spread footing rather than cast in place drilled holes. So the Caltrans came back with a redesigned footing for it, and so this is changes to request to tell the contractor proceed with the spread footing. When we asked for a price on that, the contractor came back with almost 3 times the estimated value of that work. We had 2 independent estimates, so we are convinced that we can get a unilateral change to the contractor, and with proper supervision, we should be able to get this job done. This is just to show some of the boulders that we have encountered in the field, the size of the boulders. These are some of the boulders that we have recovered from the various drill holes, and this is another picture of that. So what we are trying to request the board now is to give us the authorization to go ahead with the unilateral change that we are requesting for in the amount of $1,493,000. And increase the total contract price from $15,057,080 to $16,550,080. And then we are also asking the contract modification authority for the CEO to increase from $1.37 million to $5.8, which gives the full authority of the to the value of the LOP budget that we are asking. And item C, we are asking contract modification for the FY11 budget by the amount of $1,935,000.
Yes.
And
hit your mic, please.
On this particular item, these items do not come to the construction committee?
It was on the Measure R committee, and that committee was canceled because of the Measure R dollars.
They don't come to the construction committee?
They should.
I mean, there was a Measure R, but they should go to the construction committee.
I'm just saying, I'm on the committee, and I just don't remember this item.
I don't either. I was going to ask the same question.
Because of the Measure R funding for this specific project, it was targeted to go to the Measure R committee as opposed to the construction. It can, if you would like, Mr. Chair, we can send them to both in the future.
I thought that we gave that direction early on.
All Measure R projects?
One, doesn't have to go through one to go to the other. It can concurrent, you know, at the same time. I mean, because I was under the same impression that even that would come to the construction committee.
Okay.
I think in future we will do that.
I know you're reading your report, and I'm just trying to understand what you're trying to get us to do. You want us to do a change order on this?
Unilateral change order to the contractor, because when we asked for a price from the contractor, the price was three times our estimate, and we had another independent estimate done, which is also much lower than the contractor.
The original one was to go do the straight.
No, I understand.
Okay. And then, now
then they found rocks.
Right.
And so now, you're talking about a different estimate, though.
Yes, ma'am.
What's their estimate?
Yeah.
The contractor's estimate was $4.7 million versus our independent estimate for approximately just under $1.5
million. We approve this. Right now, you're making a recommendation based on experts who said it should only cost $1.4 million. But what I guess I'm concerned about is down the line, as they finish this, does then the contractor file a suit against us for additional claims? Yes?
We do have a potential for claims in the future when we issue the unilateral change.
Which costs us a lot more money in the end of the day. Can't we get him to look at this? I mean, we have an expert. Who is his expert that estimated the $4 million? I mean, that's a big difference.
Yes, ma'am, it is a big difference.
You're almost making a case for it when you show me the pictures.
Yeah. This particular contractor has a history of being litigious. So he has a tendency to not come to agreement. He proposes high. We've gone through this with the staff. We've had a conversation with legal, because we actually looked at deleting this portion of work from his contract and issuing a separate bid on this work. We're convinced this is the most inexpensive method for us to come to resolution. We're comfortable with our experts in the bid. As a unilateral change order, what we will pay him for is time and material on site, so we have to manage him very carefully on that, and that becomes our legal basis for not paying more than just time and material on site.
That's good to know. So we now monitor his actual expenses as he takes these boulders out, or
as he builds this piece of the south wall?
That.
Yes, ma'am.
You're going to build the one on the right now versus the one on the left.
No, I understand that, but I mean, so how do we know that that doesn't cost $4 million? Because you're going to monitor it.
We are monitoring, and we will have all the equipment hours, labor hours, everything watched and monitored, so that way we know what the contractor is spending.
Mr. Chairman, in the future, I really think I hope these things could go through the construction committee.
Absolutely.
I hope
it's
not the appropriate place.
I think they've agreed to that. I mean, I thought that was up front, so I was going to ask.
We'll do that.
And I know that this is a timely kind of thing, but since you're going to monitor it, could I ask you that you give a report to the construction committee? Because I just know that this is expedient. Let's just give them the 1.4 now. But I mean, if I'm going to pay them the $4 million at the end, after a lawsuit, I'd like to know that now.
Yes, ma'am.
We will give a monthly update.
You're assuring me that you're going to say $1.4 to be realistic, and that you're going to monitor that he's utilizing that to do that extension is only going to cost that much more, and you're going to qualify it for it, then that's okay. But I'm not so sure what that is. So if we could have that at the committee, I think it would be
helpful. Totally concur with that. Okay. Director Fasana, then Director Katz, and then Director Katz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Questions. The first being, do we record or do we have records of when that freeway was built? I mean, a lot of this freeway was built elevated, I presume, as fill, to where some of these boulders are probably ones that back in the early 70s put in there.
Mel Wilson.
Are there existing records that give us a clue on some of these freeways where they've been built in that manner that we might have to pull some of this back out again?
Unfortunately, this isn't an area of engineered fill. Boulders such as this are not allowed in an engineered fill. It was somehow placed within the fill and not recorded. There are documents as built plans that should show if something like that was placed there. The as built plans did not.
indicate that this what we usually call unsuitable material, unsuitable backfill, was used in this situation. We are in the foothills, and the inspectors may not have been present at all times when the contractors are doing the backfill. We have discovered this in one or two other projects, and we've actually been in contact with Caltrans, and we're asking on sound walls like this in the foothill that they institute some new practices, different than normal practices on doing geotechnical work, because a little bit of prevention will pay, is worth a lot of cure in this case.
I appreciate that response. The second question, in the background on page 2, we mentioned that in February of 2009, I think at that point we canceled the procurement with Caltrans and Metro brought the work in-house. Do we still feel we're better off for having taken that approach on this project?
Yes, sir. I do very much. I'll answer that directly. We've identified that we've been able to find some cost savings by administering a few of these sound wall projects in house. We're sharing those savings with Caltrans. They are still a major partner for us, but we want it very clear to them that we're paying top dollar. We want good efficiency on it, and we're getting their attention on the importance of that.
Thank you.
Okay, Director Wilson.
Can you help catch me up on this process? How many miles of sound wall are we going to be doing over the next decade, let's say?
I will have to send you a separate report specifically on which projects and which miles and which locations. We have identified a number of sites, and in Measure R we have specifically identified $250 million worth of funds that are available for construction of sound walls. So there are many miles of sound walls that we anticipate.
$250 million, how many miles would that typically build us?
We'll get well over 25 to 50 miles worth of wall out of that amount of money. We should actually get more than that if we can, and we're working with the industry to come up with some less costly sound wall types. Some of these walls that we're going to be building in the near future are still eligible for Proposition C funds as well, so we're going to be using a mixture of Proposition C and those Measure R funds, and at that point in time we're out of funds for retrofit sound walls like this.
Thank you. Who is the lead agency for the geological work, the preliminary work on the walls?
The geological investigation for this specific sound wall was performed by Caltrans. A consultant working for them did the geological study here. They used standard methods, 4-inch core hole, which is a standard practice in the geotechnical industry for doing foundation exercise. What we've discovered here is an anomaly, which is suggesting that in foothill areas that we expand what is standard geotechnical practice and include some new techniques.
So in your geotechnical practices for sound walls, this core sampling you took did not reveal that you had excessive rocks?
That is correct, sir.
And is that kind of your standard procedure, the procedure you just articulated?
The procedure that was used in this specific project is the standard practice that is used for doing geotechnical investigation for sound wall foundations.
And any lessons learned from this?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Certainly in areas where we think there's this potential, going from a 4-inch to a 6-inch core hole it just doesn't bend, right? So a 4-inch core hole can bend around these rocks. It is a very important thing. We've also sitting down with Caltrans and suggesting that we do a periodic investigation with backhoe, you know, pull some trenches out, and because these are all relatively shallow within the top 3 feet or so. So we think a little bit of prevention there will save us a lot of money in the future.
So you're recommending that we approve a change order that would increase the contract to about $22 million?
No, we are approving requesting several approvals. One is to authorize us to go ahead with the unilateral change so the contractor can begin work on the spread footing work and he does not delay that. As a result of that, we had to change the life of the project budget. And the other action is this sound wall project was originally conceived to be a $22 million project. However, we did get a very good low bid, around $17 million when we bid that. And as a result of that, We have some contingency money in the contract. We are afraid that when we start doing the rest of the sound wall, one more mile, we have many other unknowns in the area. So we are asking permission for the CEO to execute if we do find those unknowns like utilities or more problems with the soil contamination, additional traffic control that we have to exercise during construction. Because it's all nighttime work. So all of these contingencies may add to more cost. That's why we are asking for approval for that modification authority.
Now, in your contract that was originally approved, what was your overs or your under as far as how many dollars you were going to exceed, plus or minus, for exceeding this contract? Contingency?
Yeah, he has the right numbers.
Right now, basically, based on the past change orders that were issued to the contractor, we have exhausted all contract modification authority. That's why for any...
percentage or dollar amount?
Right now, we're running just under 10% of the contract amount.
And is that pretty standard for a change order of 10% on a contract like this?
On general contracts that do not have such major problem, that could be a figure. However, this contract is experiencing much more serious problems.
I was going to say 5 to 7%, sir.
So 5 to 7% is a norm, and this one here, what are you actually asking us to approve in terms of the change order, the percentage of original contract?
What's the percentage increase?
I think it's almost... you have the numbers there?
Keep it from pivoting.
On the order of 20%, sir.
Yeah, about approximately 20%.
Part of it's probably the weight on top of it, too.
You know, I don't recall, and I've not been around here for a long time, but that seems like a very, very excessive change order. I mean, I recall when we were building tunnels, and I don't recall a 20% change order request. So
this is for future unknown change.
That there's not a, it doesn't appear to be a proper protocol for sound walls, and I would imagine that sound walls is a large part of what we do?
No, actually, we don't do a lot of sound walls. No one does really anymore, but there is a very important lesson that we're learning here.
But in the Measure R legislation, wasn't there not a sound wall allocation? $250 million or something?
$250 million.
What you're saying is you haven't done a lot of sound walls in the past? Is that what you're saying?
It's not a major piece of the overall Measure Our program, which has close to $40 billion total within it, although we are mindful of what we're finding here in the Foothill area.
Mr. Chair, it just seems like we're not thinking ahead. If sound walls are going to be a large part of what the public is going to demand for improvements of rights-of-ways and roads and access to getting back and forth, it seems to me that we need to have some type of protocol for anticipating, you know, overages like this. A 20% change order really is, you know,
How many times did it have to redesign? I mean, that's the most significant piece of this. It's very rare that you'd have to redesign a sound wall. Is that correct? Are you changing protocols on the drilling?
That is correct, yes, sir. The 20%.
I agree with Mr. Wilson.
20% is an embarrassment, sir.
Mr. Chair, it just seems like maybe I'm not sure what the appropriate committee is for this, but it seems like this should get referred back to some committee. I'm not saying to delay the
process. Come back to construction.
The committee needs to be looking at this so that they can.
Okay. Can we have time to refer it back to a construction committee?
Murphy, loss of money.
We have to delay the contractor, this particular contract, but we would be very happy to come back with a procedure and process for all the sound walls, how to monitor, how to control costs, and what procedures we follow. Caltrans is the main designer of these. MTA is doing the implementation, actual construction oversight. So we will work with Caltrans and come up with a process. So that way we have a checklist of things we do before we proceed with any further sound wall construction.
Okay, Mr. Najarian, and then Ms.
Thank
Malina.
You. And I just want to reiterate a point that I made months, if not years ago, is that the design of these sound walls is ridiculous. To put a 20-foot foundation just to put a screen to block the noise. This is what's going to happen when you dig 20 feet. You know, digging underground is dangerous, but certainly, you know, this is something that if we had a different, a lightweight type of screen, that we wouldn't have to go to 20 feet. We'd be very much more near the surface. We wouldn't even be talking about this. So I know you mentioned Caltrans working on a design. I mean, where is the ingenuity in our planners and designers and architects these days? This is a relic. This is a dinosaur to put up a 12-foot block wall with incredible weight and rebar and cement and block and... Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Ms. Molina.
I'd like to... I think that there was a recommendation to refer it to back to committee. I don't know what the delay would be, but I just would like to ask more questions. I'm not so sure I understand the engineering concept here and how it started, but since we're going to be doing more of it, I don't want to ask the questions here necessarily. Could we do that, send it back to committee? Is that going to create a terrible delay?
1 month.
I understand, but a terrible delay so that this man, the contractor, can't move forward?
Right now, the contractor can't move forward with this work. 1 month's delay. Right now, we're facing contract completion of December of this year. One more month, and any future changes will put it in the rainy season, so that may create additional delays on top of it.
This contract is has to go this it change, or is it only a portion of it? Was it engineered in this way all the way across?
Yeah, there's only a portion of the project where we found this unsuitable material. What we're trying to do and move this forward at this point in time is avoid delay claims by the contractor. We know
no,
it's litigious.
I understand. Yeah. I want to avoid them too.
Right.
But is there other things that the contractor can do that would not create necessary? Of the entire project.
We have been directing the contractor to do those so that we could have time to come forward to the board. Now we're about out of other areas he can work on without experiencing a direct delay.
Well, I think that the overall process should be reviewed. It's just that it seems as though Caltrans has turned over something to us that I'm not so sure exactly that they sort of knew that, because the design isn't up there, I'm not so sure how that wall now is going to be held up by the spreading, as you're saying. Is it going to take the lane out of commission and build the lane? Are you going to inject that the cement underneath with no foundation to hold it?
It will go underneath the shoulder. It'll go underneath the shoulder adjacent to the freeway. It won't get out into the freeway lane.
You're going to lift it up from the shoulder.
Yeah, we will excavate the shoulder down.
Again. You can see where they're.
Yeah, we'll excavate.
Now.
Yeah, let's bring that up.
Injecting, or if you're actually cutting shoulder.
We're cutting into the shoulder, excavating down.
Yeah, they can answer.
We're excavating the shoulder down. We're putting in then steel and reinforcing bar to create an L-shaped footing, and then the safety-shaped barrier in blue.
And you see under in the spreading footing, it's like. It looks like you're spreading the cement, but it has no brace underneath it at all.
Well, it will reside on the ground, so it'll be on compacted earth, and there will be steel a steel reinforcing within the concrete.
That 6 feet has steel, and then it has like you're cantilevering it out, so it has steel there, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Building that in on the side.
Yes, ma'am.
Card.
I'm not in any way trying to create a problem here where we end up in litigation for a slow stoppage of work, but at the same time I think there needs to be, engineering is a pretty precise science, and it seems to me that the people who are involved with this work could manage your work in a way that we can at least take a look at this thing on a global issue and not get caught with such an excessive change order in the future. So I'm prepared to let them move forward on this. But however, I do think it requires more oversight, at least from our committee, to set up some protocol for it.
Construction committee. So, so are you moving the item? And then with the caveat that the entire block, this whole wall process goes to the construction committee.
That's correct.
For a thorough analysis and a protocol.
I'll second that.
Okay. All right. Is there any objections? Yeah. Yes.
One question I'd like to answer when it goes to committee is just why us and not Caltrans for the extra money?
We will be prepared committee. To address that at committee for you, sir.
For committee.
Yeah. Yes, we will
but
do
as a
so,
committee,
sir.
That's fine. Yeah.
Thank you.
But I think that's important since they were the designers.
Yes, that's a very good question.
You know, we're transferring liability on some of these other projects like Expo and stuff, you know, the contractors. So, you know, we can... good. Okay. Without objection, so ordered. Thank you. Item... Director Villaraigosa, what do you
yes.
have on?
I have a motion... that has been passed, a motion by myself, Director Kanabi, and Director Antonovich. It says the LA County Metropolitan Transit Authority is a pioneer in moving its bus fleet to cleaner alternative fuels and continues to be, it should be, the national leader, not a national leader, with the largest fleet of compressed natural gas buses in the U.S. and 100% CNG fleet. The transition from diesel to CNG buses was not made for economic or business reasons. It was known, and it is the case, that the transition would cost MTA more than continuing with a diesel fleet through higher vehicle costs and new fueling infrastructure. Instead, we made the transition for public policy reasons, to reduce emissions and improve public health. Now, the MTA board decided to make an investment on cleaner air for the residents, workers, and visitors of the LA County and South Coast Air Basin. And since then, there's been a growing focus on buying CNG buses, reducing greenhouse gases as well. In fact, Director Mark Ridley Thomas and O'Connor, and I joined with them, are also asking that we look into renewable energy opportunities. So today's emerging technologies offer the hope of super low or zero emissions, including electric, fuel cell, and hybrid buses. However, buses featuring these technologies have a number of challenges for operating agencies, including limited in-service experience, relative higher vehicle acquisition costs, and potential additional infrastructure costs. On the other hand, they also reduce operating and maintenance costs and lower the life cycle costs in our current fleet. As a matter of public policy, we should be on the forefront of deploying lower emission buses, but we should do so in a fiscally and operationally prudent manner, and therefore we move that the MTA board direct the CEO to develop a recommended strategy and timeline subject to future review and approval by the MTA board for transitioning to super low / zero emission buses.
I would second that, but I think the reason for allowing that motion to go forward at this point, it should have been part of 15, so I think if we can come back in 90 days and tie it into item 15 as well. Are there any objections to report back? Are there any objections? So ordered. Okay, item 17.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item 17 is to an action item to approve a project list for the South Bay Measure R Early Action Program. It's shown in Attachment A in your report, contingent upon a nexus determination. Approval of the project list, and also to approve the project list currently funded project shown on Attachment B as potential candidates for Measure R should additional dollars be necessary. Authorize the CEO to administratively approve funding for these projects should the need arise. In Measure R, there were three pots of funds, one for Malibu Las Virgenes, one for Arroyo Verdugo, that identified for congestion reduction, smaller pots, smaller number of cities. We brought those before you earlier. This is the final
seconded.
Of those.
We have several speakers.
This is a separate category in the Measure R?
It is a separate category for South Bay, yes.
And we've asked them to come back with that priority list. They've worked pretty hard at
yes.
it.
Yes, and they've my compliments to South Bay.
I would
South
ask
Bay,
Steve
excellent.
Lance, Arnold Sachs, and John Walsh.
I'll pass if you don't mind, sir.
Okay. Steve passed. Mr. Sachs, then John Walsh.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Arnold Sachs. Here's my concerns about South Bay. Here's an item from October 23rd, 2008, the board's agenda regarding SB 1722, a bill proposed by the late state senator, Jenny Araposa, the Metro Green Line Construction Authority. You turned it down back then. So my question is how can you be moving forward on making preliminary plans to do work on the Green Line when you don't have a Green Line construction authority? You know, it was very important back in 2008 when you were deciding funding for the Expo Line and the Blue and the Gold Line. We need to have this construction. No, we can't have this construction authority because it'll take money away from the other two lines. Turns out we don't need a construction authority because the Crenshaw Line is going south from Aviation Boulevard to, from Century Boulevard to Aviation. So what do we make from these observations, sir? Thank you.
John Walsh, HollywoodHighlands.org. Facebook us. 3,500 is our goal. Mickey Jackson, M-I-K-I. You got the cart before the horse here. Even Don Canavi says the missing part of the puzzle is there's no money for operations. You just spend millions, hundreds of billions, but you save $50,000 by slapping George Kiefer in the face today. So I can't say that you spend billions and you save tens of thousands. And I'm really surprised the BRU just seems to have disappeared. It seems like the old days before the BRU when it was just me and you.
Sounds like a song. Okay, without objection, so ordered. I believe that completes the agenda. Am I correct? And we have public comments. Public comments. Malcolm Klugman.
What happened to number 18?
18 we did already. Malcolm Klugman, Mrs. Francis Lewis, Mel Taylor will be the first three speakers.
All right. This is a bunch of little things I want to say. First of all, get rid of the buses that have steps. Get rid of them now. They're hard for little old ladies to get up the steps, and when you use it for handicapped access, half the time they go out, pick the person up, and then they don't work, and everybody has to wait for the next bus to show up. Get rid of that. Separate the entrance, people coming and going down here on the subway and at several other stops, because there's a stampede of people heading towards the subway and getting off the subway. You're going to have to separate those people so there's no accidents or something doesn't happen. Could you make a deal with 7-Elevens and have more places where bus passes are available? We gotta have, that way you solve a lot of this problem. People have the bus passes when they get on the bus. And don't make bus drivers give directions. They don't know what they're doing. The other thing is, $10.50 an hour for contract bus drivers, that's up from, what, $10 4 years ago? That's what you get. That's the kind of bus drivers you get for $10.50 an hour. They can work in a steel mill.
All right. Thank you, Malcolm. Mrs. Frances Lewis, followed by Mel Taylor, followed by Jose Rodriguez. Mrs. Lewis, you still here? Mr. Taylor? Jose Rodriguez.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jose Rodriguez, and the reason I'm going to make this comment is because I was here on February 1st, and I'm sorry to say, but there's people that they don't even know what they're doing. They just come to the meetings and propose things that don't make no sense. I'm going to talk about the line 485. Please don't cancel that line. Send a supervisor and see how many students are in Costa LA waiting something for the bus, get so crowded with 20 people getting on the bus. You have 485. 487 and the 910 and even Metrolink, and it's not enough. And you getting thinking about getting rid of the 485? I don't think so. Now, the 445, we need this route. And if MTA doesn't want to take responsibility, you don't like it, whatever, give it to LADOT and make this a commuter express. But we need express line from LA to San Pedro. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. And maybe we can get a report back from operations on those two particular lines.
Thank you.
Dr. Clyde Williams.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno, Northeast LA. The 710 conversations, they are just conversations because a lot of people are going, but there's nothing on record. There's the NOP, NOI. Those are coming on February the 28th. And theoretically, everything that goes on in the conversations will be on the record. I would highly recommend that all of the conversations meetings be on the scoping record and record report. We need more meetings. A lot of people in Northeast LA attended a lot of the technical feasibility meetings, but we get one for 4 million people. That seems a little underrepresented. You need some for Altadena and La Crescenta, the 210 corridor. Those were added by Mr. Antonovich to the motion to proceed with this thing.
Thank you.
So,
John Walsh.
John Walsh, blogging at HollywoodHighlands.org, 1 million successful server requests last year. Mr. Wilson, I remember when you ran for mayor of a non-existent city called San Fernando Valley. I think you got 11 votes. And I remember when you were on the fire commission, you did it better there. I'm talking about the subject. The subject, in fact, I'm telling you, you did a good job at the fire commission. And as far as this switch, I would like to know this WESAR for Le Bon switch, is that permanent or is it just for this meeting?
Just for the day.
Just for this meeting. Incidentally, Le Bon will be defeated next week by Stephen Box, and WESAR will be defeated by Rudy Martinez.
Thank you.
Facebook,
right,
Mickey Jackson.
Thank you.
I still have 14 seconds.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks. Mr. Sachs?
Thank you, Arnold Sachs. Two things. I appreciate the CEO mentioning earlier that the MTA is having outreach programs for the reduction in services. And what's interesting about that, again, upholding the Brown Act requirements, is that the public comment at those meetings is only in reference to the reduction in services. According to the City Council of LA, that's illegal. The public comment cannot address items on the agenda. That being said, in addition, Torrance Transit was mentioned as one of the participants in the TAP program. Torrance Transit has initiated a program where they're buying new clean air buses. I believe Santa Monica has new clean air buses. So why the hell is MTA buses that are these new clean air buses only two-thirds the size of a regular bus? Torrance has regulation-sized buses. Santa Monica has regulation-sized buses. MTA is putting on buses that are smaller than the ones they're replacing.
All right. While
Thank you
there,
for your answers.
Got it. While you're there, you have 1 minute. Mr. Sachs, you have 1 minute to address CS1, CS2, CS3.
Oh. Well, CS1, CS2, and CS3. Aren't they separate items
up
again? I guess, thank
CS1,
you.
CS1, CS2, CS4 is what
Thank you
up
very much again. Separate items on the agenda.
Right.
Commissioner Najarian, thank you for your comments regarding what a signature means on a documentation from a board member or a committee member or somebody. Because I just have a question for Mr. Leahy regarding the signature on the letter that he sent me in the explanation of how the Blue Line Construction Authority became the Pasadena to go to Los Angeles to Pasadena Gold Line Construction Authority, yak, yak, yak. Because your signature is on that. Does that stand for anything? Is that an ethical question? How come a private company is being involved in making public decisions? It has no root in anything, but we're going to go ahead, we're going to have a advocate here and a justice there and somebody assigned here and somebody assigned there, and it's all about just stealing money.
Mr. Safer, could you read us into a closed session, please?
Yeah, the MTA board will now adjourn to closed session to discuss
Thank
the
you.
Items on the agenda.
God bless America.
The MTA board met in closed session for its February 24th, 2011 meeting. Board considered item CS4, conference with real estate negotiator, at which time the board authorized MTA to enter into a purchase agreement of the Union Station for $75 million, subject to satisfaction of various contingencies. The board took no further reportable action. That concludes my report.